Thank you for choosing the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. This week, Trevor Dan hosts our roundtable discussion for June 2018. Plus, James Cridland asks if we're heading for an all-IP media future.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So a very busy week in radio this week. Christian O'Connell started his new show in Australia.
Good morning, Melbourne. This is the Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show. And indeed, wherever you are listening to the show right now, I know there are some old friends from the old country that are listening as well. Hello to you wherever you are in the world right now. But right here in Melbourne, yes, I am new. I am sorry about the big countdown you've had for like the last 30 odd days that's been saying he's coming, there's a radio revolution. There isn't really a radio revolution. It's just some guys talking between the songs.
Hits Radio Manchester went live, replacing Key 103.
That was Greatest Day by Take That, the song you chose as the first ever song to be played on Hits Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. It's me, Gethin.
It's Gemma and it's Dave.
Hiya.
On the brand new Hits Radio. And if you're listening to this, it means I pressed the right button.
You did. Well done. And
so
we're
it's
all
a good
here.
Start, isn't it?
We made it.
We made it, yes. It's been a long time coming, but we're here for breakfast. The sun is shining in Manchester. I hope it is with you where you're waking up this morning. And this is it.
So far, so good.
Dave Berry began breakfast on Absolute Radio.
Well, I'm a little bit new here. Matt, you're back. You're returning.
Yeah.
And judging by the look on your face when you arrived this morning around 5.30, you are thrilled.
I love this time of the morning. I thrive on the journey in. The taxi driver with his nasal problems. It's just lovely. Life is great at this time of the morning. And long may it continue.
We booked him specifically for you, though, Matt.
Thanks.
You said you wanted the guy with the nasal problems.
Yeah,
that's
well,
why we got
still got his issues.
Oh, and there was the small matter of a new breakfast show announcement by Radio 1.
It's so cool that we get to swap and I get to have a go at the most famous radio show in the world, and I could not be happier.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like one of those jobs that, like, you and I growing up wanting to do radio, like, you always want to do it. And I think it's amazing that as many people get to experience feeling sick all day.
Yeah.
And actually having that feeling of when you're going to the airport forever.
I know. And when we're talking about how we're going to do it, it's really nice that we actually really like each other.
Yeah.
And our pals, and that we can do it like this and not be like, oh, they're swapping, and
yeah.
it's really lovely that you get to do the show, which has the best hours in the whole world.
Well, to consider some of those matters and much more, including ITV's move into podcasts with a Love Island Daily spin-off, let's join Trevor Dan and find out who his guests are this month on the Radio Today Roundtable.
Thank you, Stuart. We're back at Jazz FM for the June roundtable, and I've assembled a stellar cast as ever, and they're going to introduce themselves.
My name is Jane Garvey. And
that's your father's name.
It's my only my father's name. My mother's name is O'Neill, but of course that was her father's name. So strictly speaking, never mind what my bloody name is. I am one of the presenters of Woman's Hour on Radio 4, and also very proudly the co-host of Fortunately, the podcast with tiny little Fee Glover.
Who we couldn't get on, so
she's
that's
busy.
Why we had to have you.
I know, exactly. I'm the one with the time and the availability.
Sitting next to Jane.
I'm Ian McIntosh. I'm the chief executive of Muddy Knees Media, which is a rather grand title for an office and a staff, which is kept mainly in a broom cupboard here at Jazz FM. But it's very nice and they treat us very lovely.
And you make the Totally Football podcast, which used to be, if you like, the Guardian Football Weekly.
Wouldn't say used to be. I'd say it's a completely different show, but you'd expect me to say that.
I would, but you kind of privatised it and it's still got James.
It's the Totally Football show. We do the Totally Football League show. We do an Italian show. We've got pods coming out of our ears.
And Matt Deegan is here as well.
My name is Matt Deegan. I run the children's radio station Fun Kids, and I do a variety of radio projects for a company called Folder Media.
And last night you were up all night. By the way, this thing you're doing of raising your arms up and down, does that mean you want your headphones louder?
No, I was going to say put your own mic up a little.
Oh,
bit.
Am I a bit quiet?
Yeah, I think so. Right. There we go.
See, I'm being properly produced this week. as are Kem and
Ariel.
Who are making the...
So we're making the Love Island podcast for ITV. It's on 6 days a week. It is a recap of last night's show and then a good chat between them with some extra features and guests. And yes, our first one dropped this morning on people's phones and devices at 6 a.m.
And I bet this is really exciting you, Jane.
Well, I didn't know there was a Love Island podcast. Now I know. I might even put myself through the sheer hell of listening to it. I've got teenage daughters, so we are all over Love Island. like the kind of rash that might well be circulating. It's only a suggestion. To be honest, I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, I'm banned from watching it with my kids. They want to, it's a thing for them. And I do get that. Who wants to watch that kind of thing with their mother? But what, I mean, is there intellectual heft in the podcast? Would it be suitable for me?
I think it's about celebrating the show and really reflecting what happened. So the big reveal last night was that there was no big reveal. So when you were waiting for a character to say what which young lady he was interested in, they cut away to the credits. And what we had was a real reaction from our hosts. We obviously knew what was going to happen. And actually that reflected what the audience felt as well. So we're trying to do that. It's obviously a huge show. Last night it won its time slot, so more people watched that than any other channel, BBC One, ITV, and Love Island's on ITV2. It was the biggest non-news or soap opera of the night.
Wow.
It did peaked at 3.4 million. So, I mean, it's a huge programme.
What about the podcast itself?
Yeah, what would you expect for a podcast like that?
Well, we think it's going to be the biggest podcast of the year.
But kids don't listen to podcasts, do they?
But this is, I think, one of the really interesting
bits.
You'd
be surprised.
And I think this is the interesting thing about this podcast. It's probably the first big mainstream topic. Podcasts tend to be quite focused either audience-wise or topic-wise. And this is a big mainstream show from ITV. I think that's good for podcasting, bringing people across to the medium. You're only 6 million people listen to podcasts a week. I'm really excited that at the end of some of the episodes, they'll go, hey, come and download our podcast from the Love Island app or from where you get your podcasts. I think that's good for us as an audio sector to get more bums on seats, more people into the medium.
Jane, as you were saying, you're half of Fortunately with Fee. It's a very successful podcast.
Well, I don't know. Do you know what? I'm not sure what, in terms of downloads, what makes a success, so-called successful podcast.
Well, we have an analyst here.
Yeah, Matt, you tell me.
Yeah, so anything over 5,000 is reasonable. 5,000 an episode, perhaps over a week. I think anything over 30,000 a week would seem to be very good. Ian, you're probably, when you think about numbers, you run a very successful podcast.
Yeah, Totally Football Show generally registers audiences that get measured in the hundreds of thousands. But we have our fringe shows, the Italian show and the Football League shows, which are in five digits. But it's just a great thing, particularly with Love Island, because the podcast area has so much potential because everybody's carrying around a smartphone. Everyone's carrying the ability to get all these podcasts for free. So it's kind of nice. Every now and then I meet people who go, oh, I've never listened to a podcast. And you think, yes, that's fantastic. It's all this audience. And shows like the Love Island Pod, and I hope you won't take any offence here, I will probably never listen to it on the basis that I'll probably never watch the show. But they're fantastic kind of Victorian icebreakers going through, smashing the market open for everyone else to pile in behind. So they're great. I also listened to yours earlier and I loved it because it feels like I'm eavesdropping. Feels like I've just kind of shuffled up to a table behind yours. And
that's what a lot of people say, that they can't believe that we're... Well, exactly that. And that is a brilliant... If you're prepared to go with that idea that you are just eavesdropping on a couple of mad biddies having a chat, then that's absolutely brilliant. We don't always have a guest. We most often do have a guest, unfortunately. But on the whole, I mean... Unfortunately, I said.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately. I would say
unfortunately, in the sense that I like it better when there's no guest.
Well, we don't always have to have one. I can't remember who we've got this week, actually, to my shame, but I think it's somebody fascinating. We don't always have... I did speak to someone at Radio 4 not that long ago who said, wow, you know, I just think it's incredible that, you know, that you and Fee make that script sound so natural. I really like the way this is a worry.
You had Jo Wiley on a show a couple of weeks ago, and you're talking about as she approaches you, describing what she's wearing.
Slightly people off a lot of the time.
No, in royal wedding style. And it feels like you're eavesdropping. Oh, they've just been talking about her. I wonder what they'll be like to her face.
What I wanted to know, Jane, is has it changed the relationship that you have with what I'll call your listener? In other words, do you get more intimate as it were, friendly response from being a podcaster than you do from being a broadcaster?
Oh, I think you definitely do, because it's that whole business that these people have elected to listen to this gibbering, and it is, and neither Fee nor I rate it any more highly than that. Not that it's easy to do, though, Trevor, of course, it's very much an art. But it is gibbering, and we want it to be as inclusive and as daffy and as, frankly, occasionally relatively explicit. We are extremely honest about much of the detail of our lives, which is... I think it's, that's why people go with it. They realise there's no artifice to this. If we've had a, I mean, it's one of the great things about being older and being on Radio 4 as well. Listening to Radio 2 this week, and I know we're going to get on to talking about Simon and Joe, there's something, it's that kind of horrifying jauntiness of Radio 2 that sometimes just makes me feel quite bilious. And it's one of the really good things about being on Radio 4, because life is, it's, there's so many grey areas. It's bloody difficult for a lot of people. If you're a presenter on Radio 2, God love you, you can't acknowledge any of that, really. It's all sunshine and, what is it Graham Norton says, the home of the conservatory. Whereas we can be real on Radio 4, and it's, Radio 4 is not my favourite radio station, but we can be real on it.
Okay, is Fortunately, yeah, the podcast, in your head, a Radio 4 show?
No.
Because I think it's really very different from Radio 4.
It's a genuine, it's basically the closest I've got to being my real self in front of any kind of microphone. And Fee is she's a friend of mine. She's not one of my closest friends. Well, actually, she wasn't when we started doing it. Of course, inevitably, we have got a lot closer because there's a lot more I know about her
and
now.
And do you think that you have men listening in partly because you're a bit saucy?
It might be, but we're always on the hunt for heterosexual male listeners. We make no bones about it. We think we've now got up to 7 or 8 because we ask them to contact us if they watch, which is, of course, we absolutely love our gay listeners, male or female. We couldn't care less. But I suspect there are quite a lot of gay men who enjoy that Propped Up podcast.
I was just going to say you can make it 9 now. After this morning.
9 heterosexual men.
Jane mentioned the Simon Mayo, Joe Wiley show. I think it's common knowledge that they were brought together without either of them really angling for it. What do you think of it?
Well, as on most joint shows, it's very rare, isn't it, that there are natural double acts that end up on air. I listened to the first episode and then I listened again yesterday. I thought an immeasurable improvement yesterday. And actually, if you sort of throw away what you've heard before and you just thought, hey, this is a show on the radio, good. I enjoyed it. It was fun. They're clearly still finding their way a little bit about how they work together. But I think that's dissimilar to probably when you started, fortunately, and worked out what your own roles were within that discussion.
I think when I listened to Joe and Simon, and I heard it yesterday, their phone-in, their call-in thing, shout-out was, what's making you ache today? Which actually kind of contradicts myself. That's more Radio 4 territory. But I did think, well, this isn't really what I want to listen to. I was in the kitchen flinging together something for dinner. I didn't really want to hear about the nation's aches and pains followed by a bit of
REO
Speedwagon.
Biscuit.
Yeah, but you're like, hop, hop. Yeah, well, I thought it was a strange area to go to. But I did a show for over a decade with Peter Allen, and double acts on radio are, Peter and I were crap to start with. You know, 3 weeks in, we were terrible. Nowhere near as good as Joe Wiley and Simon Mayo were yesterday. And after 13 years of working with Peter, yeah, of course we had an authentic relationship. But that was after well over a decade of being stuck in a room for 3 hours a day with the bloke.
What did you make of it, Ian?
It does feel like an uncomfortable and odd compromise. I mean, they're both more than big enough to carry a show of that size on their own. So it almost feels like they're squeezing it in, trying to make it happen. But, I agree with Jane. That chemistry takes a long, long time. It just remains to be seen if they'll have that time.
It felt to me a bit as though Jo was very keen to bring with her her established credentials as a lover of new music. And she was working very hard to say, hey, I haven't gone mainstream, everybody.
Oh, I don't know. Actually, I thought it was the other way compared to the first week. So I thought things like the aches phone in, the adjective of the day, was actually about all of us together. And it led on to Joe talking about gardening, which isn't very hip and, you know, music orientated. There was still a bit where they were talking about some new music where obviously she could demonstrate that passion. But I thought they'd made quite a big leap into trying to be less siloed than what they're known for before.
Let's talk about the other big news of the week in terms of Grimmie's going to Drive Time on Radio 1 and Greg James is taking over The Breakfast Show, which many people thought he would 6 years ago. What does this say about the state of Radio 1 at the moment?
I thought it was the perfect time for him to pass the baton because he just passed being the second longest serving Radio 1 Breakfast Show host. And whether you regard Nick's reign as a successful one or not, I think to say that you're the second longest running shows that something worked and it's very respectable to move on. It's interesting that he's going to stay at the station. That doesn't always happen. I think Greg is absolutely the most obvious person to take on that show. He wants it. He's really hungry for it. He's going to deliver a different kind of programme, maybe more successful, may not be, you know, who knows, the wacky world of the wireless. But he, of their talent, he's the right person to go there. I'm interested whether they add anybody to that group and whether it's kind of him. He does very well with Chris Smith, who he writes kids' books with. Will Chris move along? Chris has a huge breakfast background. He was at XFM with Christian O'Connell and then moved to Absolute with Christian O'Connell. He's quite a good sort of producer co-host, more than just a newsreader, which he is now on Newsbeat. So I don't think we've seen the final version of what that show is going to be in September.
It felt a bit to me, Jane, like the sort of move that Johnny Beerling would have made on the old Radio 1 in the 90s, where he would have said, oh, I think we've had enough of Dave Lee Travis, let's put on Mike Reed.
Well, are you going to be hypercritical? Yeah, and I should say, I think they're both great broadcasters. You are replacing one nice white middle-class lad with another nice white middle-class lad. Now,
30-something.
Yeah, well, and that is, and I happen to live with teenagers. They like Greg. I'm not sure they really listen to Radio 1, to be honest, but they know who he is. But I am being hypercritical, but you're probably right. This feels a little bit old school.
I'm just wondering whether it's really Radio 1 doing that old balancing act of, on the one hand, we can't afford to shed listeners in numbers. On the other hand, we're meant to be for young people. That's always going to be a difficult balance.
Well, there's a really interesting piece on the NME website, which, of course, is now the only place you can read the NME.
NME. We've never mentioned that on the Radio Today roundtable. Well done, Ian.
happy to bring something to the party.
It did used to make your fingers grubby, though, didn't it?
Oh, so much so.
Awful.
Yeah, not one to read in the bath, which I used to do, because it would evaporate quite quickly. You'd be sitting in a large bowl of porridge. Anyway, I can't remember the name of the author, I'm afraid, but it's a really good column. It's sort of lamenting this missed opportunity for change, and it did refer to poor Greg as a cup of particularly milky tea,
which is unkind, because he is
not
good.
What anyone wants to hear.
But I could hear Greg on Radio 2 now.
I don't know. I think he can probably adapt.
And Scott.
I think Scott's perhaps slightly different, but I think Greg can probably adapt the act to what he needs it to be. I think what Radio 1 have been doing, and their Fridays and are now different to the rest of the week, is there is new talent coming up that way, whether that's Maya Jammer doing different things with Matt Edmondson and co-hosts. So it's not like it's an entire talent wasteland. And also One Extra has been a pretty good place to grow new talent, diverse talent, and bring onto the main network. Would you have done a direct swap? I think easing out a breakfast presenter is always difficult. Is Grimmy going to be on Drive Time as long as Greg will be on breakfast? Don't know. Perhaps not.
I think the issue here is one that you're probably very familiar with, is a kind of, what is Radio 1 for? Because as digital listeners have crept over the 50% marker, and as you've seen the runaway success of Six Music and One Extra as well, you know, is Radio 1 still that kind of communal national station, or is it more of a gateway into other music, in which case, you know, the gateway needs a kind of amiable gatekeeper, and maybe they're taking that safe choice for the wider interests of the radio network. That's the sort of logic that I'll probably put behind it.
Anybody hear the start of Hits Radio?
Yes, a bit of a listen on Monday, and a little bit of a listen today as well, Tuesday.
This is what used to be Key 103 in Manchester and is now national.
Yes, so
Comedy Dave.
Comedy Dave is back.
Comedy Dave is
Dave
back.
Vitti.
Back. Dave Vitti, the very same.
Oh, excellent. And is he still comedy?
So the
as new... much as he ever was.
So the new breakfast show on Hits Radio is Gethin, Comedy Dave and Gemma Atkinson, who was on Strictly. Again, it's trying to get them to work together and learn. I don't think they've got a particular relationship between them at the moment. It was quite jolly. I thought it was fun. I thought Gethin, actually, for someone who hasn't been a huge radio presenter, had something about him and was a different kind of listen. He did a good interview with Jessica Lynn on Monday morning. And actually him being new and then being experienced, because Gemma was at Key 103 doing that show before, and Comedy Dave obviously have a big, big background with Moyles. It was quite a nice feel, and they were sort of helping him along, even though he was sort of the person in charge.
That Dave is going to be in a broom cupboard in future in Golden Square.
I'm not sure. He was definitely there for yesterday and probably will be this week. But I think he does live in London.
It's going to be hard, though, isn't it, to do a show like that?
Well, they do happen, don't they? I've heard there are quite a few national breakfast
like
shows
that exist.
I couldn't possibly.
Anyway. I want to talk about podcast awards in a minute. But first...
Hello, Trevor. It's me again. I just wanted to pause from the round table for a moment to tell you about Clean Feed. Have you heard about it? Well, whether it's an OB, an interview, or co-hosting from a remote location, Clean Feed is designed for radio and for podcasters. And now it's really simple to connect live audio over the web via a browser. The quality is great, and you can even record it as well. Clean Feed doesn't cost anything to get started. It'll only take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes, you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. You can find out more at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. Back to you.
It's the June version of the Roundtable. Jane Garvey is here, Ian McIntosh is here, and Matt Deegan is here. And Matt, you were the co-organiser of the British Podcast Awards, which took place recently.
Yes.
We can read all about it on the websites and everything, but what did you learn from what won and who did well?
I think what's great about the Podcast Awards is it's very broad. Kitchen podcasters right through to big media organisations. We've got a really broad range of judges from all around the world, which take a huge number of entries, and we had over 600 entries this year, and whittled them down to interesting shortlists. And I was chatting to winners who got silver and bronze as well as gold, and the silver and bronze people have seen bumps in their downloads because it's the Podcast Awards is a way for people to discover new podcasts, and I'm over the moon that's what's happening.
Jay, did you actually win anything? No. You got some nominations, didn't you?
I was at the Royal Wedding that day, so I couldn't... I mean, I was stuck on a... Anyway, let's...
Very funny at the Royal Wedding.
Well, I was only on for 8 minutes, but what an 8 minutes. I tell you what, easily the award-winning 8 minutes
you
of the whole
acerbic,
thing.
You were acerbic, I thought, in a positive way.
Listen, it was a beautiful occasion.
Yeah.
Actually, in a strange way, it was. So I wasn't at the ceremony. And Fee did go, though. And actually, we talked about it, and she said that she sensed in the room, and I can't blame anybody for this, there's not a lot of love in the podcast environment for the BBC producing podcasts. And frankly, why would there be? Because it's not fair, is it? I mean, I do get that, and I completely understand why people who are doing it all on their own with very few resources just think, oh, bog off.
I think it's a double-edged sword, I think. Of course, people would rather have you out the chart so that their stuff would do better. However, they're over the moon when they beat you in the categories.
And they did. So congratulations.
Well, you were talking about the Victorian Icebreaker earlier, Ian. In a way, isn't Matt's awards doing that job as well?
Absolutely. And you only need to look at the names that were there and also the breadth of content there. You know, this wasn't an awards ceremony where it was just, you know, a football podcast and a pop music and stuff like that. There's a real eclectic range of content there, which, again, just shows off how many opportunities there are in podcasting, how much choice there is in podcasting. So it's an incredible time for an industry which has, of course, been tipped as like the next big thing since about 2004. So it's all kind of coming together right at the same time.
The big winner was Griefcast, Carrie Ad Lloyd's conversations with people who, like herself, have suffered a bereavement while they were quite young. Has anybody heard any of these?
I have. It sounds awful. I wasn't, to be perfectly honest with you, it wasn't something that I felt was groundbreaking. I mean, maybe it's obviously Woman's Hour is a programme that genuinely does have these rather difficult conversations about... in fact, I interviewed Margaret Mizzen this morning, whose son had been at Glast and had died as a result of that attack 10 years ago. Grief is something that actually, to be fair to Radio 4, is covered in quite a mainstream way to a big audience. And if I'm... maybe there's just something about comedians talking to other comedians. I do feel as though I've sort of heard that.
I'm going to say why I think it's different, and then maybe you can come back at me on this. And I think it's something that I've learnt from listening to you as an interviewer for years, and also now hearing you having conversations with Fee. Mm. I think they're different things. I think we've all, as producers, told presenters, look, shut up, it's not about you, it's about the person that you're interviewing. And what happens in Carrie Ad's Griefcast is that she's absolutely part of it. It just is not an interview. It's a conversation between two people who both have something in common. Do you see why that would be different from the way you might do it on Woman's Hour?
Oh, of course, because we're doing it absurdly in 8.5 minutes, you know, and you've got somebody in your headphones saying, move it on, move it on!
It's time for the Viking.
Yes, it's time to go back to 11th century King Iceland. Actually, they've moved on to Constantinople, unbelievably, in this week's Viking. So I do not understand. Never listen to a bloody word of those things. A bit of a... Yeah, sorry. Don't get me to talk about that.
Breaking news. Jane Garvey hates radio drama.
No, I don't. I love The Archers.
You said radio drama. Oh.
Yeah, sorry, that's a documentary, isn't it, about farming people? You're absolutely right. That's the beauty of podcasts is that you can put much more of yourself in there. But I would also argue the best broadcasters put a bit of their real experience into interviews. It's just when you get the oversharing of your knowledge, which on Radio 4 is a little bit of a trap.
There's a bit of that, isn't there?
I mean, I do it myself. Occasionally I like to draw attention to my knowledge of the Mill on the Floss, which I studied to great effect back in, must be 1983 now, so quite some time ago. There's a lot of that going on, but there's the difference between sharing, overburdening the listener with just how clever you are, and actually sharing in somebody else's experience.
Conversation in the Muddy Knees football area, that again, it's I was at the Wireless Group the other day talking with Matt Hall and Jimmy Buckland, who set up this new podcast thing for News Corp, and they were talking about the difference between podcasting and broadcasting, and about how actually just two people having a rabbit is a very exciting new thing, because radio doesn't allow you often to do that because it tells you to shut up.
I think it largely depends on the identity of the two people in question, so you have to be very, very careful with that. The joy of not being interrupted by the news and weather is a considerable one. And also the thing that we found is you can follow down dark alleys of conversation that ordinarily your producer would steer you clear of on commercial radio. And you also can make shows that would never get to see the light of day on radio. So on Galazzo, the Italian show, we can go off and talk about the Lazio team who won the title in the 70s and all the associated tragedies with that team, which I feel wouldn't maybe find a place on the mainstream area. But we can also use a more mainstream show like the flagship show, Totally Football Show, James Richardson, which can open up the door to all of that, because obviously we are now a network. We have more than one show, so we can advertise these smaller fringe shows through our own show and sort of split the audience and send them wherever they'll be best
served.
What
are you doing for the World Cup, Ian?
We're doing daily shows all the way through, so we're going to be safely ensconced in our little lair, just about 20 yards behind this studio. We've got a telly the size of the Ark Royal, a fridge full of beer. We're going to be all right. We're going to be okay.
England are going to win, aren't
we? You'll be popping round, James.
Well,
you like the World Cup.
I absolutely love it. I have got what Nikki Campbell refers to as the World Cup tingle. And I know, and I had the Royal Wedding tingle as well. I'm the sort of person I just get drawn into events, and at the Olympics was another thing. I don't understand people who don't like an event. Doesn't matter whether it's a state occasion or a sporting thing.
It's Costa Rica versus Tunisia,
I'll watch it. Yeah.
I think it's going back to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show and that communal experience. These are some of the last remaining communal experiences.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't got 25 million people watching Morecambe and Wise Christmas special on the same day at the same time anymore. So, yeah, these are things to cling to, and you are very welcome.
Well, thank you. And the great thing about being an England fan is that we are only waiting for them to fail. and yet, there is a tiny part of me, every single time there's a tournament, I think, well, it's been such a low-key build-up. And I'm looking at the group and I'm thinking, well, you know, Tunisia, Panama, Belgium, you never know. Actually, maybe this is the time. This is it. I'm not going to say anything, but maybe this is it.
Talking about the podcast and talking about relationships, you know, we've just been having a go at sort of Joe Wiley and Simon Mayo or the new Hits Breakfast Show. How much better would those breakfast show launches or those show launches have been if they'd spent 6 months doing a weekly podcast together and had 40 minutes to chat about a variety of things and warm up to when they're put on broadcast and sort of shoved in with loads of radio furniture, they'd probably be in a better place to take that forward.
What do you think about double acts? Because I know that there's always been the theory that they work best if either you hate each other or you're secretly in love with each other. And the worst ones are the double acts where there's more sort of total indifference.
I think we should ask an expert on double acts. Oh, Jane Garvey's here.
Yes.
What do you think?
I was in love with Peter Allen.
We knew.
He just never went with it. A miserable git. You see, I think we were different because I think we genuinely were friends. I mean, there was, I suppose, I don't know, why did that work when others don't work? I think it was because we had respect for each other. He irritated the life out of me. I annoyed him. But on a good day, we knew we could trust each other to help. And we covered some big stories on that, particularly on Drive, actually, rather than, you know, no breaking news at breakfast, really.
New breakfast shows tend to have more success when it's not celebrities put together.
Yeah.
Because there is the audience haven't invested much in anyone, and so they build with the show. And I think when you there was some research I think done into the BBC 6:30 news bulletins, which have huge figures and are one of the best
the regional
TV shows. And there's always a do they hate each other, is there unrequited love as you watch. And I think part of the reason the one show was commissioned was to replicate that on a national scale straight after it.
You're now edging towards my ex-husband. Can we keep going about this bloody conversation, please?
Well, I was wondering, actually, we've got to move on, but I was wondering if you wanted to have a West Bromwich Albion moment.
They've been relegated.
They have, yeah.
Well, it brings me no joy. Well,
they be... Let's leave that one hanging there.
I love West Brom, actually.
Okay, what a shame. let's have an advert. Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk. It's high time we found out what our guests have been listening to. Who wants to go first? I'll decide, Matt.
So in podcast land, Hamish and Andy's podcast. So they're
from Australia.
They're Australian double act, hugely successful on the radio, hugely successful on television. They're sort of Australia's Anton Deck, and they're now off air. They've quit their radio show to concentrate on their telly, but they do a once a week podcast, which is brilliant. They have an amazing relationship. Back to relationships, amazing relationship. You do desperately want to be their friend, and when they have callers on, they're instantly part of the family. And if you've heard of them before, haven't really listened to before, their new podcast started about 8 or 9 weeks ago. So if you want to binge listen and catch up, you don't have to worry about having to understand old features or those sorts of things. You can get straight into it.
Here's a clip.
So at some point, Smarties, similar to MySpace, got lazy.
They got caught flat-footed.
Absolutely. M&M's has come over the top.
Yeah, and if you asked us in the 90s, how and why they got caught flat-footed as candy analysts, as lolly analysts, we would have said, well, because they got usurped by a superior technology, because M&M's melts in your mouth, not in your hand, and Smarties got caught being lazy with a meltable dye on their candy shell.
Yep.
They got caught napping because they thought they had total dominance, just like MySpace got caught napping.
Yep.
And M&M's came in and they said, look, hold these all day if you want. If it wasn't for health reasons, we wouldn't even sell them with a bag because you could just carry them around all day. And at the end of the day, they're going to be in mint condition. Yes. And you cannot say that about a Smartie.
No.
And we all jump ship.
There's Hamish and Andy. Matt, have you got another one?
The other thing is, I think it's easy to slag off music-orientated radio stations. So a lot of people say, hey, in this podcast world, just banging out the hits doesn't work anymore. I think that's bullshit. I really like listening to Magic Chilled. I really like listening to Capital in the daytime when they're playing the most popular records. I haven't got time to get a Spotify playlist or choose what I'm going to hear. I just want to hear the 10 most popular songs at the point in which I put the radio on, pressing one button. So for those stations, for Capital and particularly Magic Chilled, which I think does a great job, I heartily endorse those programs.
Gabrielle with Dreams on Magic Chill. Great song to put you in a good mood for the rest of the day, isn't it? My name's Miri Green. I'm here every weekday from 8 till 12, and I'm loving playing you fresh laid-back hits this morning. Coming up, new music from Jess Glynn, and we've got Miley Cyrus, We Can't Stop, on the way after this. Fresh laid-back hits. Magic Chilled. With a Magic Radio app, you can listen to Magic Chilled anywhere, anytime, with Miri, weekdays from 8.
Hello, I'm Miri, and I'll be here every morning with your chilled-out breakfast.
Followed by Eloise from 12.
It's Eloise. I'll be playing you fresh, laid-back hits.
And Louise from 4.
Just helping you to chill out and relax into your evening.
Download the Magic Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play.
Magic Chilled Breakfast with Carphone Warehouse, the new home of comparison. Why not see how much you can save?
Ian McIntosh from Muddy Knees.
I've actually been smashing through Audible's back catalogue at the moment. I'm very, very into my audiobooks right now, mainly because I went to a comprehensive school and I barely concentrated, and so I have huge gaping gulfs in my knowledge. So you can download...
Jane can help you with Mill
on
the Floss.
Yes, I was going to say. Any problems?
We'll have a chat afterwards.
Yes. Can't wait.
Simon Sharma's 75 Hours of British History were a kind of constant companion when I was still a football journalist and driving up and down the country all the time. So I've really enjoyed on those. On a similar line, Anthony Beaver has a new book out on Arnhem, Operation Market Garden, and there's a show on History Extra by Immediate Media, which is lovely because there is an interviewer there, but I think he's heard for a cumulative total of about 40 seconds, and it's pretty much just 45 minutes of Anthony Beaver telling you stuff. So it's lovely. You just sit there with it on in the background. You learn by osmosis, which is my favourite way of learning.
It was quite obvious that you only needed to have one problem like that, and the whole plan was going to start to go to pieces. And, my God, it did go to pieces in every imaginable way. The British, I'm afraid, have this obsession about heroic failure, and I'm afraid Arnhem sort of summed up heroic failure in no uncertain terms. Basically, I'm afraid vanity plays a large part, and Browning was so determined that he should command the corps in war, and they thought the war was going to be over in a matter of... this was going to be his last chance. So I'm afraid there was a lot of personal pride involved in deciding on this basically disastrous operation.
There's Anthony Beaver helping Ian with his osmosis. Anything else?
One that I wanted to talk about I found really interesting that wasn't actually very good was The Walk by Naomi Alderman, who wrote the fantastic The Power, where women suddenly generate the ability to electrocute men at the drop of a hat.
It's Jane suddenly perked up.
Speaking my language.
It's a fantastic.
I tell you
book.
What, Naomi Alderman is one of the best broadcasters ever. Never mind writers. I've interviewed her a number of times. She is just an intellectual fizz bomb, and you just she just ignites, and you can't keep up with her. She's incredible.
Well, I love that book, and I got in a lot of trouble on Christmas Day because it was bought for a relative of mine, and I nicked it and sat in the corner and basically read the whole thing when I should have been being social and stuff.
Well,
anyway,
it would have been nice. None of us enjoy Christmas.
It was a safe place. I was happy. She's written a podcast called The Walk, which came out on Panoply, which is a very strange thing. It's you might have heard of Zombie Run, which is essentially a kind of exercise app that has you being chased by zombies if you slow down too far, which is very handy. The Walk is kind of like that, and it's an immersive first-person adventure which feels like you're in a radio foreplay and everyone's talking to you, but you can't talk back. And the first thing you think when you listen
They're
to it
like
is... But the first thing you think of when you listen to it is, my God, they've spent some serious money on this. Then you think, why didn't they get any Scottish actors to do the Scottish accents? It gets a little bit, you know, like Russ Abbott Scottish accent here and there. And you're also, you're confused at why you've just got a lot of people running up and saying things like, they've just set off a bomb, it's flattened the town, quick, over there. Oh, can you see that over there? And it's a really strange thing, and I don't think it works, but it's a really interesting take on storytelling. And I think people are going to listen to it and they're going to learn lessons from it. And the second wave of these kind of first-person immersive stories are going to be very interesting.
Here's a clip.
You have to walk as far as possible, as fast as you can now, Walker. As fast as you can. Go. Go, go.
A violent terrorist group wants to take over the world, and you're the only one who can stop them.
We have to leave. Listen, do you understand? I don't care who you are. It's no exaggeration to say that the survival of the human race depends on that box getting to Edinburgh, and whoever you are. The burn will kill you now if you let them catch you.
I've got plenty of ammo. I'll hold them off as long as I can. Move! Just keep moving! Get out of the city! Go! Go!
That's The Walk. Two from you, I think, Jane.
Well, something I haven't heard yet, but we will be hearing, is Chris Waddle's monologue, When England Get Knocked Out of the World Cup. I'm sure you can find an old one, because he does win every single tournament. And that's, of course, on the off chance that England don't win it. Chris Waddle will be let loose, and he is just amazing in those moments, because somehow when the rest of us are just too puce and indignant to speak, Chris finds the emotion and he uses it and he just breathes it out, and it's just incredible.
They know how to win games. The difference in international football from Premier League football is how to win a football match. It's not about picking your star players and he plays for Liverpool and he plays for Man United. It's about getting a balance of a side which is going to get you a result. We never ever do. And the media's to blame as much as anybody else, because when they drop somebody or they play somebody in a different position, we're on the case straight away. Why? Other countries go, you know what? I've got good players, but unfortunately, so-and-so is going to sit on the bench tonight. And are we bothered? No. Mm. Until we get that way of thinking, how do you win football matches? You start from the back, right? Then you get organised. And if you've got two or three creative players, you build a side around certain players, and that gets your side balanced. It's not about having the best 11 players or the best 11 flair players you can find. And we never, ever, ever learn.
So he'll be on Five Live.
He'll be on Five Live. And actually, I'm genuinely looking. I think they've got Robbie Savage, haven't they, doing a Five Live World Cup breakfast every morning at 8:30, which will also be good. We'll have that pumping out in the Woman's Hour office.
Somehow I doubt that.
Well, actually, you'd be surprised. The podcast that I try very hard not to miss is Ear Hustle. I think it's been mentioned on this podcast before, and it's probably a bit hackneyed. But I just think if you want a podcast to take you somewhere you will never go, then that goes behind the walls of San Quentin prison. And there was an episode I heard very recently about parenting and an extraordinary sequence in which a father realised his own son, with whom he'd not had very much contact, was coming into San Quentin. They were both going to be in the jail at the same time. And it's brilliantly done. It's a nerdy observation, but it's superbly produced. I just think it's a brilliant podcast.
How is that not a Johnny Cash song?
It should be a Johnny Cash song. You know, the whole thing, it feels like you're living, not in a Radio 4 drama, but in Johnny Cash's songwriting book. Yeah, it's incredible. So I would definitely recommend that if anybody hasn't heard it.
When you were growing up, what was some advice your dad gave you?
Well, that's the problem. But my dad left when I was 4.
Yeah, the only advice I got from my dad was to be still and take this ass whooping like a man.
He used to show me what fork to use, like the crab fork, and we had all these like instruments of Civil War out on the table. It took me a while to get the hang of that.
Oh, did my dad give me any advice? No, but he led by example of what not to do.
My dad never gave me any advice.
I think he did, but I don't recall.
Did your dad ever give you any advice?
Mm-mm.
My dad was gone by the time I was 2 and dead by the time I was 12.
Told me to go to school, stay in college.
Did you listen to him?
I did not listen.
Did your dad ever give you any advice?
Yep, he said smoke only on the weekends.
You're now tuned in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I'm Earlonne Woods. I'm incarcerated here at San Quentin State Prison in California.
I'm Nigel Poor, a visual artist who volunteers at the prison.
And together, we're going to take you inside.
And a documentary, a couple of documentaries I heard on Radio 4 about Victoria Wood, which were presented by Rebecca Front, who actually I interviewed on Woman's Hour only today. We didn't have time on the live show to talk about this, although she is in the Woman's Hour podcast, which is why the Woman's Hour podcast is so successful. And it is successful, is because we have additional content every
more
day.
More Rebecca and less drama.
Yes, exactly. We leave out the drama and just keep talking to the guest, which I really enjoy. But this is two programmes about the craft of Victoria Wood's writing. And it's called From Soup to Nuts. From Nuts to Soup. I've written it down here. This is why I need production. Here we are. From Soup.
Let's take that again, everyone. Jane, what's it called?
Victoria Wood, From Soup to Nuts.
Here's a clip.
Victoria Wood's comedy crossed class, regionality and significantly gender. All the more extraordinary when you consider how much of her subject material was the travails of women's experience.
It's a terrible thing, you know, premenstrual tension, because when women all work together, they all start to coincide. And they all get it all at the same time. Do you remember that office block in the city last year where the windows blew out?
So by now, people in Victoria's world are indeed getting pregnant. Take this routine involving childbirth mixed with, because of course we're talking Victoria Wood, cosmetic surgery done on the cheap.
I thought I'd go and see my friend and tell her about my date, just to get a bit of advice. And I went to see her, and she was awfully miserable, my friend, because she was depressed about the veins on her legs. Because she'd had shorts on the other day, and her husband had used her left thigh to direct someone to the motorway. She said she was thinking of having plastic surgery. I mean, she's had it before, because she had all the loose skin taken away from under her arms. Had it sort of tightened up. I mean, it works, you know, she's got nice tight arms. Just if she goes out in the sun, she has to prick them with a fork. This is the trouble.
Well, is there any other business? Because if not, I think we
well,
can
I would
wrap
say, I
up.
Know, I would just say to, about Joe and Simon, you've just got to give it 13 years and they'll sound really natural.
Good luck with Love Island, Matt.
Thank you.
Good luck with the World Cup, Ian.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with whatever your...
Life.
With life. It's been a difficult struggle.
Can I tell you
so
about
far.
My aches?
Please don't. This has been the Radio Today Roundtable for June. I've been Trevor Dan, and it's now time for our drama. Stu.
Thank you, Trevor. And there's more from Trevor next week. He'll be at the Wireless Group to talk about their move into podcasts. And he'll also be reporting from the Radio Days Europe Podcast Day in Copenhagen.
Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Well, there's no David Lloyd again on this edition of the Radio Today programme. He's on his holidays. But James is here still with more Future Talk.
At james.crid.land and on your favourite podcast app, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, are we moving to an all-IP media future? We believe that the days when all media will be distributed over the internet are not too far away. Those are the words not of me, but of the BBC's Chief Technology and Product Officer, the very nice Matthew Postgate, who bought me a beer once, who made a long speech which the BBC has reproduced on its website. I tweeted this last week and it was retweeted heavily, with a lot of radio people posting, "I told you so, and I've been saying this for ages," and a few online radio companies jumping to self-promote themselves as part of the all-IP future. But, as Harry Enfield once said... First, as a former senior manager of the BBC, I'd start with a seemingly trite statement that whenever you hear "we" coming from a BBC manager in a speech, what they really mean is firstly my department, and secondly, in most cases, they also mean television. In fact, there's no mention of radio in the section of Matthew's speech which talks about an all-IP future. Radio and television are very, very different. Now, the BBC used to publish figures that highlighted this. For example, if you go back to January 2016, you'll find a piece of information on the BBC website around the iPlayer showing that 92% of all TV consumption online is on demand, but for radio, that figure is only about 30%. Radio works better as a shared experience with a human connection, and that shared experience is stronger when people listen at the same time. And the fact is that right now, according to Radar, only 9.3% of linear radio listening is online. Just 9.3%. It's tiny. Broadcast accounts for the rest. Radio has been streaming since 1998, so in 20 years we've achieved just a 9% take-up. And this doesn't appear to me to herald an all-IP future for radio anytime soon. And as Matthew says later in his speech, there are many problems in the way. The internet networks couldn't cope. Everybody doesn't have fast internet in the UK anyway, and not everybody can afford internet either. As an example, the BBC is showing the World Cup online in 4K this year, but they're limiting the number of people accessing these streams because the all-IP future is, it seems, not a very scalable one. Now, it could well be the case that the future of most television is on demand. We've seen this begin to happen for some time. PVRs or services like Netflix would tend to highlight where the future might be going. Live TV appears to be best used for news, sport, or royal weddings, and all three of those are apparently still quite important to people. Now, on personal connected devices, the same might be true for radio. The BBC stats I linked to earlier, however, don't show an increase in online linear radio listening since mid-2011. And people like a skip button on the device in their hands. Music radio already has a strong competitor in terms of services like Spotify. And talk radio is competing to an extent with podcasting. A live linear stream is not a good match for a highly interactive product like a mobile phone. Now, I believe that with the right product, we could significantly increase radio listening online, but that wouldn't be to live linear radio. If radio's future online is a mix of near live and personalised content, as I believe it is, then that needs dramatic change to how we make radio programmes. It's not going to be enough to get the intern to edit bits out of a live show as we currently do and sling them online. Lazy, live, unpolished radio doesn't compare well with other forms of audio that we have available now. We need a total rethink of how radio production works for our future. And as Matthew says, quote, at this nascent stage, the type of future we're heading towards is very much up for grabs. Well, I'll say, with just 9.3% of radio listening being online at this point, I'll go further. We won't see an all-IP future for radio in my lifetime. And I'm only in my 40s. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening.
Of course we will. Thank you, James. And thanks also this week to Trevor Dan and roundtable guests Jane Garvey, Matt Deegan and Ian McIntosh. Next week, a podcast about podcasts. Trevor reports from a day all about them in Copenhagen, and he'll also find out what TalkSport and Virgin Radio owner Wireless Group is doing in the field of podcasts as well at the moment. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.